not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." This is the words of Christ with regards to what we should be striving for, what we should be working for, how we should be laboring, what we should be doing in this life today. Striving not after the food that perishes, no matter how good and how wonderful it may be, no matter how wonderful and delicious it may be, the food that perishes, as important as that may be, the food that perishes is not for what we should be working. Instead, we should be striving after the eternal food, the food that God gives us eternally. And I find it interesting that immediately the Jews then ask the following question about Jesus. What must we do to perform the works of God? How are we to be serving and working for this eternal food? So their question is the right one. And Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe. And as I've preached here many times in the past, the word believe is a very poor translation here. It should be a verb formed from the English word faith, which we can't do in English, so we make the word up. We make the verb up. That you faith in him, that you exercise faith in him whom he has sent. In other words, exercise faith in Jesus. That's doing the work of God. That is what it means to be striving after the eternal food, not the earthly food. Striving after the eternal nourishment, not the earthly nourishment. No matter how wonderful the Thanksgiving dinner may be, and I'm going to tell you, it's delicious. I have not been eating on it. Not yet. It smells good, but no, I haven't been eating on it yet. No matter how delicious it may be, it will perish, friends. It will not feed us eternally. So we shouldn't truly be striving after it in the same way that we should be striving after eternal nourishment, after eternal sustenance, after the food that never perishes. So the Jews ask, how are we going to believe this? What sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and faith in you? I mean, again, the right question in a sense. How can we trust that we can accept this word? How can we trust you that what you're saying is worth hearing and that we should have faith in you for our eternal sustenance? That's essentially what they're asking. What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and faith you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I mean, that's pretty good. Bread from heaven. That certainly has to be better than the kind of bread that you make from the wheat of the field. That has to be better than that wonderful bread that goes into the stuffing at Thanksgiving, right? After all, it came down from heaven. Certainly that's going to be somewhat eternal, right? And Moses gave the people that. Yeah, Moses called up to God and said, these people are driving me crazy. They're whining and they're complaining. We're hungry. Did you have to bring us out here into the desert to die of hunger and thirst? Whine, 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 whine. And so what does God do? God gives them manna. Rains forth bread from heaven. A miracle gift of sustenance. But guess what? That manna wasn't eternal. You could only collect just enough for the day. If you collected too much and tried to keep it for the next day, it would have worms in it. Ugh. You could only collect what you would eat in one day, unless it was going to be the Sabbath day. Then you would collect twice as much on Friday, and then on Saturday, the Sabbath day, you'd have manna to eat, because you can't go out and collect on the Sabbath day. So it was just enough to sustain you physically. It was bread indeed that perished. It was bread indeed that didn't last. In fact, the Jews had a real problem with this stuff. I mean, go to the next slide. That's manna there. All right? That's crystallized manna that you see on the screen. And they looked at it and they said, "Manna, manna, Moshe, manna, what is it?" And that's how it got its name. It's the what is it bread. Manna, manna, Moshe, manna, what is it? What is it? It's bread from heaven. Eat it. Make a cake from it and eat it. But don't try to collect too much. It's the what is it bread. A miracle gift, yes. Just as all of our food, all of the grace that God gives us in terms of food for this life is nevertheless a miracle gift too. But it perishes. It doesn't last forever. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. He asked for it for you. You whined and bothered him enough that he asked for it, and you got not just manna, the what is it bread, you also got quail. You got meat too. I mean, we don't got quail at Thanksgiving, we got turkey. Yeah. But they got bread from heaven and quail to eat too. Because they whined and complained to God about how God, Moses had led them out. God had led them out into the desert to die of thirst and hunger. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven." And now he does a little switch. "But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The true bread of God is not limited bread. The true bread of God, move it forward, please. Move it forward. I didn't do the joke, did I? No. See the sign? See the picture? Totally forgot. Thank you. See the picture? People arguing about manna. What is this manna? What is it bread? People arguing about what it means, what it's good for. Going out and collecting it and getting excited about it. And there's one guy, he has his mouth open. The manna's falling into his mouth. And Moses says, "Oh, by the way, that wasn't manna." As he has his look on his face, as the quail has dropped something into him. Ugh. All right, you can go forward now. And go forward again. I wanted to tell that joke and I forgot it. "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Not manna that falls from the sky, that sometimes gets confused with quail droppings, no. It's true bread, true eternal bread, true eternal substance. It is my Father who gives you the true bread, the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." It's not limited bread. It's not limited bread. Bread that will perish, bread that will rot. It is eternal sustenance, eternal bread, bread that will not rot, bread that will nourish us not just for today, but for forever. That's the true bread that the Father gives us. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." They're not dumb, friends. They're really smart. They want this bread, and they want it always. Not just bread that perishes, not just bread that will rot, but bread that will last forever. They want it. Do we? We work for a living. We work to make money, to buy a house and pay a car bill and buy food at the grocery store and pay our internet bill and our insurance bills and pay our taxes.
Blech.
We work hard to make ends meet. And so for some reason, the ends don't ever quite totally seem to get there. We work for it. We strive after it. We should truly be striving, therefore, even more so, after the eternal bread that is literally given to us by the Father. Just as the manna floated down out of heaven, and the people, all they had to do was gather it, so also God gives us truly heavenly bread that nourishes us eternally, and all we have to do is receive it. We have to act in faith. We have to faith in Jesus. We have to believe in Him. We have to trust in Him. We have to hope in Him. We have to act on the belief, the trust, the faith. We have to believe in Jesus and act upon it. And in doing so, we receive the bread of heaven. We receive the eternal nourishment, something far better than the what is it bread, than the manna. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Not just to us, but to the world. Not just to those who immediately get it and receive it, but because we have received it and been nourished by it, God then works a miracle through us to give life through proclaiming the gospel and living the gospel to the whole world. Give us this bread always, they said. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. That's also, by the way, one of those famous I am passages. Remember, God's name, Yahweh, in Hebrew, means I am. I am the one who is and cannot not be. I am the one who exists. I am the one who is and will be known. And here is another meaning of that name put into action in Jesus. I am the bread of life. Yahweh, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me, whoever faiths in me, will never be thirsty. No more hunger, no more thirst. Eternal nourishment, eternal quenching of thirst. That is who Jesus is for us. He is our nourishment. He is our source of strength. He is our heavenly bread. He is our heavenly and eternal drink. For you've got to remember, the Israelites were starving and they were thirsty in the wilderness. So He struck the rock and water came forth. They whined and complained. They were hungry. They were thirsty. He struck the rock, water came forth, and He called to God, He prayed to God, and the manna descended. We also are hungry and thirsty, but not just for the food of this life like the Israelites. We are hungry and thirsty for eternal food, for eternal sustenance, for the bread that never perishes, for the water of life that never ends. For the river of life that will well up in us to bring nourishment and refreshing water to the world. We are thirsty and we are hungry. And if we believe in Him and if we come to Him, if we believe in Christ and if we come to Christ, we will never be hungry again. We will never be thirsty. As long as we are coming and receiving, as long as we are drinking on His word and feasting on His sacrament, as long as we are receiving the real presence of Christ and the fellowship of the faithful and the prayers of the faithful, as long as we are participating in the means of grace, we will never be hungry. We will never be thirsty spiritually. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I talk to people all the time who struggle with spiritual thirst, who struggle with spiritual hunger pains. They wonder, why is my life falling apart? Why do I feel like I have no spiritual strength? Why do I feel like I'm so alone? Why do things not go right for me? Why do things tend to continually fall apart? Why is this such a mess? And I don't have to talk to them for 2 minutes before I find out why. Before they tell me why things are such a mess. And it's usually because they're not partaking of the means of grace. They're not attending worship. They're not studying the Bible. They're not praying. They're not serving others. They're not reaching out with hands of grace to others to feed and to clothe and to give a cup of water. They're not partaking of the sacrament of Holy Communion. They're not living by faith. They're forsaking the fellowship of the faithful. They're wandering in the wilderness. And they're starting to complain and cry out for manna, for the what is it bread. For what they need is the true bread that comes to us from heaven. The true bread that the Father gives us, not the what is it bread, but Jesus, who breaks bread in our presence and gives us eternal life. If only we will receive Him, if only we will say yes, if only we will come with faith and eat and drink and read and pray and sing and worship and serve. If only we will come to the means of grace and receive the eternal bread and the eternal water. Receive the eternal supply, the eternal sustenance, the eternal food of the real presence of Jesus. If only we will come, we will never be hungry. We will never be thirsty. I speak to so many people who are starving spiritually. And usually, quickly, almost immediately, I find out why. It's that they are in a wilderness, running from God, not living by faith, not partaking of the means of grace, but trying to do it themselves. We can't afford to try to do it ourselves, friends. We can't. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the wonderful, glorious grace of God is this, that Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus is the bread of eternal life. Jesus is our source of strength. Jesus is our water of nourishment, quenching of thirst. Jesus gives us all that we need and all for which we must give thanks. I invite you as you come to the table of the Lord today and receive the divine bread of heaven anew and afresh into your life. I invite you to seek after the true what is it bread, the true bread of heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord, and be nourished by His grace. Be nourished by His real presence. Be nourished by His love. Be fed in a way that will never leave you empty. Be fed in a way that will fill you to the brim with the love, the presence, the power of Almighty God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. The glory of your creation amazes us. By your word you formed the universe, orchestrating the majesty of the heavens like a master composer, fashioning galaxies, solar systems, and our earth with brilliance, and humanity with compassion. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Day by day you bless us with your grace and peace, your light and love. Even though we have turned away from you and wandered into the wilderness of sin and death, you have not turned away from us. Instead, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the folly of our ways. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen, amen, amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ, the true bread of heaven. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Amen. Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.